I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I do want to bring in David Zanotti, and he is going to analyze everything for us as far as politics goes. iVoters.com is the website. David is, of course, co-host of The Public Square. Heard on over 200 radio stations across America. David, I hope you're having a great and respectful Memorial Day. So let's talk a little bit about President Trump. He came out now and said that his overseas trip was a home run. Knowing that everything these days comes down to politics, you tell me from an independent standpoint, because that's where you come from, was President Trump's overseas trip a home run?
Well, and everything that the president talks about always has to happen in a superlative tone as well, which
yes.
is sort of all of us are getting used to. You know, Dan, he managed to get across a number of high-profile, very significant places across the world, and he didn't break anything. That's a big accomplishment. That's certainly more than I would expect to do, and I've been at this for 40 years. This guy has been at it for about 40 months. So, again, for that to happen is a significant reality, and I think Americans have very lowered expectations because they recognize this is his first time through, and everybody's breathing a sigh of relief. He didn't start a war. He didn't break anything.
What do you think of, you know, Angela Merkel came out and said that, and this is a paraphrase, but she came out and said, well, we can no longer count on our allies to work with us there in Germany and across Europe. Clearly, that was, at least to me anyway, although some people might debate this, that was a reference to President Trump. She talked about how we can't build walls and we can't have barriers. That coming, of course, just a few days after Barack Obama sat there with Angela Merkel, and he said basically the same thing. So to me, it looked like former President Obama meeting with Angela Merkel, and then President Trump meets with her and other European leaders as well. It almost, to me, seemed like former President Obama was sort of trolling President Trump. Was that the impression you got?
Well, there's just a lot of things hanging in the air in regards to President Trump, and whether it's Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton hanging around to add weight to the resistance movement. Yeah, I think there's no question that that's their agenda, and they're going to look for any window of opportunity. And obviously, European leaders can pick and choose whoever they want to like or dislike. They have their own countries and they can do their own thing and they can say whatever they want to say. I think the reality of the matter is that most Americans don't know who Ms. Merkel is.
Now, President Trump comes home to controversies and agenda issues. We know that Jared Kushner is accused of asking for a, quote, back channel to Russia from the Russian consulate. Put this in perspective for us. I know that a lot of presidents have looked for their own sort of back channels to various nations abroad. You tell me, how big of a deal is this for Jared Kushner and the Trump administration?
Well, I think the big deal is the fact that that communication is unmasked and in public. The notion that leaders would look for ways of passing messages along is as current as Barack Obama's hot mic to the Russians saying, tell Vladimir not to worry about it after the election. I'll take care of these things. There have always been wink and nod back channel communications based on relationships and access. That's the way people work. You can't write laws that set, you know, that treat people like 2-year-olds and say you can only talk here and talk there. People are going to look for ways to communicate effectively, and clearly they have to do it within the law, but the law's got to have an awful lot of space. And it does to give people who are elected or appointed to do the nation's business, to give them windows of opportunity. The bigger question is, why are we talking about this? Why is it such a big deal? And why is it that the leaks that are creating all of this, which are clearly criminal offenses, continue to go on in any administration?
One of the things that I've thought, too, about President Trump looking for this quote-unquote back channel from the Russian consulate or the Russian embassy is the fact that he was trying to get around the intelligence agencies, maybe because of this very thing, because of all of these leaks. Maybe he was worried about whatever he would discuss with the Russians would ultimately be leaked, and that's why he was looking for this secure line.
Dan, it's very insightful of you to look at it that way, because it reminds me of when Harry Truman became president of the United States after the death of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. One of the first meetings that he had was a cabinet meeting, and there's a letter from that cabinet meeting in which Truman was so frustrated with the Russians, he told our people to tell them basically to go to hell, literally. And it's a documented note in the meeting, and it was later released for public files. The idea of how to talk to nations that you're having adversarial issues with is not easy. And so we've got to give people space and understanding. Truman was an outsider coming in trying to figure it out. And Trump is an outsider trying to figure it out. And there is a mismatch in this regard. The intelligence community doesn't like outsiders playing in their sandbox. And so everywhere you turn around, the cool kids who think this is their turf are trying to trip somebody up, and the media is standing there having a field day with it.
Oh, they're loving every second of this. Now, President Trump is looking to put together a team, apparently, specifically to battle these investigations regarding Russia. David, would you call this an offensive or a defensive move on the part of the Trump administration?
Well, that's a hard call, Dan. It's an insightful question again, and it's a hard call. I think the danger is how much emphasis they put on it. Nothing that the Trump people are going to do is going to stop or abate the resistance. I don't think they still understand the ferocious intensity. It almost had spiritual qualities to it. The people who are against them are true believers that Trump must be destroyed. And the only way you beat those people is you have to outrun them. You have to get to the finish line of getting good things done for everyone to witness before they can finally nail you. And if you take too much time turning around trying to fight these people that are doing a rear guard action, you stop. And if you stop, they win. And that's the danger in the American political cycle. You have to keep moving forward in faith that people will trust you and give you another shot to do more if you can get to the finish line.
A couple of huge policy issues looming, of course. First is health care. The CBO came out and said the House plan would cost 23 million people coverage, but would also save billions of dollars. The Senate came out a couple of days ago, said they're going to scrap everything and move forward with their own plan and develop their own plan. Do you see health care reforms getting done anytime soon? And very briefly about the budget, too. Do you see President Trump's budget really taking hold?
Well, President's budget is a statement of where the administration would like to see things go. The Constitution empowers the Congress to do the budget, and it starts in the House. So the reality is the president has an opinion and an outline, but the Congress is going to really take control of that, right, which is the way it should go. And it's a fair debate, and we can talk more about that at another time. You asked your other question on health care. Dan, that again— pivotal question, what's the Senate going to do? Let's start with this. The last time the Senate had an opportunity, they didn't bother to read the legislation that they passed. They've had 7 years to consider reforms and almost a year to be looking at the reform package now that the Republicans have packaged in the House to hand to them. They've had plenty of time to know the facts. The question is, will they take the time to read the facts and actually put together a solution? So far, I don't see a single ounce of scholarship coming out of the Senate. All I hear is bluster and opinions about health care. I still don't know if they know what they're talking about.
David, very quickly, and I mean like in 20 seconds or less, Hillary Clinton keeps reappearing in the news. Is she running again in 2020?
Look, if you're not in the news, it's hard to make a living. So whether she's running or not, she's doing what the Clintons have always done, which is to keep themselves front and center and profiled. Because, you know, the paychecks are pretty good when you do those speeches.
David Zanotti, iVoters.com.